Let's begin now.
Hey, Star Wars fans, this is Justin Berger with allthestarwars.com, and this episode is brought to you by Tashi Station, where they have power converters half off. Go check it out, only on Tatooine. Now, for this episode of All the Star Wars podcast, I'm going to talk about Solo, which just came out. Was it Friday? Sorry, I'm a little lost in my days, but it was on Friday. It came out Blu-ray. Came out on demand. A lot of people watched it, obviously. I watched it, and I wrote down some things that I thought about it. Now, I saw it in the theater. I remember it came out, and it was over Memorial Day. And it went up against the Avengers movie, which was, you know, I mean, that was a... People were complaining about how much money it didn't make, and it's like... I mean, it had some stiff competition. So, I mean, you can't really blame Star Wars for that. You can't blame Kathleen Kennedy for that, which a lot of people like to do. Think that everything is her fault just because something doesn't go the way they think it should in Star Wars. But, you know, there was the whole Last Jedi fiasco, and everybody was saying, oh, Solo is going to tank because just people are mad, or people aren't into Star Wars because of that, or people are going to protest. And there was this whole thing on Twitter about people were going to boycott Solo. It was like hashtag boycott Solo, because people in retaliation for The Last Jedi were going to, like, we're not going to see any more Star Wars made by Disney. And it was like this kind of fringe group of people on Twitter who were just going to boycott the movie. And I just, a lot of people, myself included, it was just ridiculous. And so, you know, a lot of people were saying, oh, they were taking credit for why the movie didn't do as well financially. It didn't do bad. I mean, worldwide box office was $385,327,304. I mean, that is not a flop. A lot of people are saying, oh, it's a flop. And if you compare it to other Star Wars movies, yes, sure. But if you compare it to, like, an average movie, that's pretty damn good. But the caveat of that is, and I know this, and people will bring this up, is like, well, the movie cost so much money, and, you know, they changed directors, and, you know, there was a lot of promotional costs involved, and blah, 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 blah. And it's just, it's like, I'm not an accountant for Disney, so I don't need to know this, and I really don't care. All I want to know is, you know, how did this movie do overall compared to, I don't know, other movies, or compared to movie at its level? Because you have to think, like, this was like a Rogue One situation in the sense, well, Rogue One, I think, had even more expectations, though, because Rogue One was the first one. That was the first standalone Star Wars movie that they had done, because they hadn't done everything else before that was connected to the saga, unless it was, like, you know, a TV movie or whatever. But we're talking Ewoks, so that doesn't really apply. But seriously, like, it was the first standalone Star Wars movie, which they had originally called anthology films, and then they changed that to A Star Wars Story, is how they started titling these movies. And it was the first one, so there was all this pressure. And plus, it had, like, the Death Star in it and Tarkin. I mean, there was a lot going on in Rogue One that affected things in the sense of, like, I would say put a lot of stress on Disney to, like, is this going to work? Because they were kind of doing things differently than they'd ever done before. I mean, to bring back a dead actor to play a character who's in the first movie, I mean, it's hard to say, but it's like, it's a bold move. I mean, to do that and get away with it and do it well is a huge risk for them. And I don't want to get too deep into Rogue One, but I mean, if you say, did it pay off? I'm going to say yes, in the sense that it told the story, like, it helped grease the wheels, I guess, of believing that that was that character. And it was weird. It was almost like it's this merging where the characters look real, but there's, like, a certain cartooniness to them, you know, and Tarkin had that. Leia definitely had that, but Tarkin had it. But I would say Tarkin was done way better than Leia, which I thought was strange because Leia had the least amount of screen time than Tarkin. Cause I mean, she was in, like, literally one scene, and they couldn't get her face right. And I'm just like, you couldn't just spend, like, an extra week just tweaking that face, because it really, like, it's just not good. It just looks elongated and it looks creepy. It looks like a fucking cartoon character. It even looks worse than a cartoon character. It just looks, she almost looks deformed. It's really weird. And with Tarkin, I feel like they did a better job with Tarkin. Like, I know he's the main, like, he's in it more than anything, and he's, like, part of the main story. And she was probably almost like an afterthought. I don't know how far along in the script she was always going to be in that movie, or if that they tacked that on late in the game, and that's why the CGI wasn't good. I don't know. I don't know the story, but I do know that Tarkin looked better than Leia. And I let Tarkin slide because I was like, you know what, that really... He looked a lot like Peter Cushing. Like, if you put him side by side, yes, it looks different. But at the same time, you know, we're just not there yet. We just can't seamlessly visually clone a human being. Apparently, it's just not possible. And I don't know if that's a bad thing. I mean, I feel like if you're going to use a dead actor, like say you're going to use Peter Cushing and you're going to put him in a movie, he's been dead. Of course, you get permission from his estate, from his family, and say, hey, we are thinking of doing this. Is this something that you think Peter would have approved? And is it something you guys are comfortable with? And of course, most of them are probably going to say, oh, we're getting millions of dollars. Sure. Hey, Peter would have loved this. But, you know, it's like, I don't think Peter would have had a problem with it in the sense. I mean, I feel like the money's going to his estate. So, I mean, it's obviously, it's a weird situation, I guess. But at the same time, it's up to them. It's up to the family. You know what I mean? It's like, unless that person has specifically stated in their will, I don't want my likeness to be used for anything, you know, then it's really up to the family because the other person's gone. It's not like he's going to come back from the grave and go, damn you, Disney. And no. Anyways, Rogue One, a lot of pressure. So, I mean, that movie actually did really well. That movie made a lot of money. They were very happy with it. I feel like the fans were happy with the amount of money it made. It's almost feel like we're stockholders, even though we don't literally have stock. But we kind of do, though. If you're a collector, you kind of own stock in Star Wars. Because if Star Wars starts to tank, then the value of your items and your collectibles are going to go down. But obviously, if Star Wars is popular and people are interested, then your collectibles are going to stay up there. So you really do have an abstract stock in Disney. I guess not Disney and Star Wars. I mean, Disney by association, but you literally own stock in Star Wars by owning collectibles, whether it's toys or, I don't know, armor. What else do people own about Star Wars for collectibles? Books, action figures, magazines, toothbrushes, I don't know, just whatever you got that's like somebody else wants. The popularity of Star Wars currently obviously affects the value. So we want to keep Star Wars going, you know what I mean? We want to keep it exciting, I guess. I think that's what a lot of fans want is, and I'm just joking around, it's not because they want their collectibles to be worth a ton of money. I mean, it's nice, but that's, people aren't selling their collectibles if they're like real collectors, because, you know, it's not about the value. It's about what that represents and what that means to you. And of course there's a monetary value attached to it. And I think with some people, you know, it's a hard thing to say, but I think for most honest collectors, the money isn't the reason of why you buy those things. You know what I mean? The money's almost a roadblock of why you can't buy things that you want for some collectors. Me especially. Like, if I had a lot more money, there's so much I would buy. And but, you know, it's like your income level dictates what level of collector you can be. So it's just the way it is. Back to Solo. With Rogue One, like I said, they did pretty well. And they had a lot riding on it. And you look at Solo, and I think there was a lot of writing on that because you're dealing with, it's almost like they keep pushing to the next level. They're like, okay, we're going to bring back a dead actor to a role that everybody is very familiar with and very popular. And we're going to do this, and we're going to bring back an actress who is still alive, but she's an original character from the original series or from the original trilogy. You know, and it's like, boom, here's Rogue One, do with it what you will. And then it's like they wanted to test the waters and see how that going. And then their next thing was to actually recast an original trilogy character. That was their next step. So the first step was, let's do fake character, or not fake characters, but CGI versions of characters that you already know. And that was like, I'm not going to say that was a success, but I'm going to say it wasn't a loss. Like, it's somewhere in the middle. Because I think half the people were kind of like, oh, that kind of sucks. And half the people were like, oh, it's awesome. Yeah. Which is pretty much everything nowadays. It's just like this split down the middle. So anyways, they did that. Then their next thing is like, you know what? We're going to recast original trilogy characters, Lando Calrissian, Han Solo, even Chewbacca to an extent. I mean, I know it looks like Chewbacca, but obviously the actor's different. And I think it affects the character the way, you know, because Peter Mayhew had very specific mannerisms and, you know, the way he walked. And I'm not saying the new kid is doing a bad job, because he's not. I mean, I think he's doing really good. But it kind of works because it's like a younger Chewbacca. It makes sense for him to be doing Solo more than it makes sense for him to be doing like The Force Awakens or The Last Jedi, which I'm fine with him doing it. I mean, Chewbacca's Chewbacca, you know, and at least he looks better than he did in the prequels. Cause in Revenge of the Sith, the Chewbacca costume looked so freaking weird, and it didn't even look like Chewbacca. It looked like Chewbacca's older cousin or something. It was just weird. And so I'm just glad that he kind of looks more like Chewbacca. And it's just still slightly, I don't know why they can't get that. I don't know why you can't imitate a mask that was created in the fucking 80s or the 70s for that matter. Like, really? Like, you can't just copy that, something that was done like over 40 years ago. It's like, why are you fucking it up? Why are you making it look awkward? Cause He just does. There's like this thing missing. I can't. And it's like, it's hard to place what it is. It's just like, you, when you see it, you just have this feeling inside of you. You're like, that's not Chewbacca 100%. Like, it's like if you clone Chewbacca and like you left out like 90 or sorry, you left out like 2% of who Chewbacca is. So that's the clone missing 2%. And that's the Chewbacca in like The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi and even slightly in Solo, but I forgive it in Solo because Solo, he's younger. So it makes more sense because he's not the Chewbacca we know. Anyways, I'm getting off on these tangents, but back to the core of what I was saying is you've taken and replaced really familiar character. I mean, Han Solo, Lando Calrissian, and we'll let Chewbacca slide, but I'm just saying Han Solo and Lando are like two. I mean, that's The Empire Strikes Back right there. And you know, Billy Dee Williams and Harrison Ford. I mean, these are big actors. These are familiar faces, familiar voices. Like, you're not going to replace these guys, but they were like, we're going to do it. Fuck it. And you know, and they did. And as far as the casting choices, I think Donald Glover was good. My problem with Donald Glover is he takes it, and I don't think it's necessarily his fault. I think it might be the directing, but maybe even the script a little bit. I'm not sure, but he just takes it too far. He's like a little too over the top. But that's the way I thought Alden, God, how do you say his name? Alden Ehrenreich. I thought that was his problem too, is like he's trying too hard to be funny. Like, he needs to be more subtle, you know, and you know, you could argue like, okay, well, these guys are young. They're not the characters, you know, they're going to act different, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I get that. But I feel like there needs to be more of a thread there where you really believe that these are those characters. And sometimes it's there. I feel like there's times where both Alden and Donald hit it. Like, there's these moments where it's just like, oh yeah, that's Han Solo or that's Lando. You know, but they're fleeting because the other time they're just like overacting a little bit. You're just like, okay, cool, whatever. And it's like, you just go with it because it's a different style. It's a different energy. The thing with Solo is like, you know, it was going to be done by the original two directors, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who basically had done the Lego movie and 21 Jump Street movies. So it's like they were coming at it from, and this is not only from just those types of movies that they'd done, but just from what the reports were saying of what was being done is Solo was being taken in a direction that Lucasfilm wasn't comfortable with. I think they were going too funny with it, too tongue-in-cheek. And I feel it still bleeds through. Like, because if you... That movie is over the top. And it's like, it's not... I wouldn't say it's slapstick because it's not that type of humor. But it definitely is a notch up for a Star Wars movie. It's just... It's almost like if Star Wars was The Hangover. Something like that, where it's just... It's like tied into this real life thing, but it's just amped up for some kind of weird comedy thing, which never worked. And even in The Hangover, I don't like it. Like, I don't think that movie's as funny as everybody else does. I mean, that's my opinion. And it's the same with other stuff. But when you come to Solo, it's that type of humor where it's just too over the top. It's corny. The dialogue delivery is like way, way over acty. Like, they're just... They're really selling you on it, and I don't like it. You know, other people do, and it's fine. I just don't like it. I think it just cheapens it because it makes it feel like they're not taking it seriously. And I don't mean the actors, but I mean like the characters. Like it's like a cartoon. It's like for kids, and you could argue that, well, that's what Star Wars is for, and it's like, but it's not. I mean, let's be real. Star Wars is not just for kids at this point. I mean, because the people putting the majority of money into it. Taking their kids to see it, or the 30 to 40, 50-year-olds who have been watching Star Wars from the beginning. Those are the people who are spending the money on it. So, of course, they have to cater to that age group, because if they don't, then you're screwed. But that's what the cartoons are for. When you have something like Star Wars Rebels, even the Clone Wars. But, I mean, even the Clone Wars was geared towards the older fan. I mean, there was some really adult stuff in there, storyline-wise, and... So they've always catered, and I think in most cases kind of acknowledged and respected the adult fan. You know what I mean? Where they haven't just converted it all to the Ewok Adventures or something like that, where they still maintain this idea that, you know, this is an adult series, and, you know, there's a certain amount of realism to it. But the problem is the newer movies are starting to lose that, I feel like. Like, they're... It's so hard to say, because it's, I guess I'm comparing everything to the original trilogy is the problem, because to me, obviously I grew up with them. Obviously that was my childhood. So it really developed my sense of film and all that. So maybe that's part of the problem. But to me, those first three movies, at least the first two, the third one, it starts to, there's times where that Return of the Jedi goes off the rails, in my opinion, but the first two are damn near perfect films to me for that genre. And, you know, for Star Wars, like those two films are the blueprint for what a Star Wars movie should be. And when it deviates from that, I think is when things start to get a little screwy. And it's like, I know you want to take Star Wars in new directions. I know you want to try different things, and I know you want to appeal to different audiences. I get it. I don't like it, but I get it. And I kind of accept it, but I kind of don't, you know, and I think it's just because it's like, you know, make different types of movies. But I guess they are, because they're doing those two new series. They're doing the new anime series. So you're getting like an anime Star Wars, which is cool, because, I mean, that's going to appeal to a specific group of people. So it's interesting, and I think it's good, that Lucasfilm is giving people different iterations of Star Wars. They're giving them different styles. They're giving them different stories, different vibes, whatever. And I think what's happening with me, maybe, and other older fans who have been around for a long time, is it just doesn't feel like Star Wars, you know, because it's going in a different direction. And I think we need to be more accepting of that. And another thing is, you don't have to like everything Star Wars. And that's something that I think a lot of people put out there, is like, oh, I love everything, and if you don't like one thing that's Star Wars, like, you're not a true fan or some shit like that. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It's like, I don't have to like everything. I don't have to like The Last Jedi to like Star Wars or to be a fan. And it's like, it's more hurtful for me than it is for you. It's like you're offended that I don't like a movie like The Last Jedi. You're like, you get mad at me. And it's like, I'm the one who's actually experiencing more of a loss here, because, you know, this is a story that I'm invested in for like fucking 40 years. I mean, this is a continuation of a story that, you know, as a fan that grew up with the original trilogy, you know, I'm invested. And when that story gets all fucked up, And it's not about my expectations of what it should do or what it shouldn't do, or it has nothing to do with that. It has to do when you take something that's like paint. I mean, Star Wars is kind of paint by numbers. It's like you know what to do to make it work. And it's like when you deviate from that, well, then it's not Star Wars anymore. It's something else. And it's like you have to realize that, because you like The Last Jedi, it doesn't. It's weird. It has like aesthetic overtones of Star Wars, but underneath it's just something completely different, and it comes across. I think that's what's so jarring about it, is because it's like you're floating along on a Star Wars note, and then all of a sudden it shifts to like a half quarter note of some odd key, and you're just like, and you know what I mean? That's The Last Jedi. If I could sum up The Last Jedi in a note, a musical note, it would be it's just horrible. It's like you're listening to classical, beautiful, serene music, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, this is really cool. Like, it totally fucks up your whole world. And that was the problem with Last Jedi. I can't get into it, because every time I try, I think I'm like vibing on it. It's like you get the and it fucks everything up. So that's my problem with Last Jedi. But my point is, you don't have to like every Star Wars movie and still be a fan. So let's just get into the meat and potatoes of Solo. I actually made a list. I watched it yesterday. I think it was yesterday. Maybe it was the night before. I don't remember. No, it was yesterday. Anyways, before I saw it, I liked it. Like, I remember going to the theater, and I went with my friend Dan, and we were sitting there watching it. And he and I grew up Star Wars together. Like, he and I went to kindergarten together, with like entire grade school, high school, like we were friends. So Star Wars was a part of our lives kind of equally. And so it was interesting to go with him to see a Star Wars movie. I actually went with him to see the last Jedi. And that was a weird experience coming out. I don't think it bothered him as much as it bothered me. But so when we went and saw Solo, it was another opportunity to kind of, you know, vibe off each other and what we thought. So he liked it. I mean, he and I laughed at a lot of the same places, and he's not like a hardcore fan in the sense that like he doesn't collect a bunch of action figures and stuff. I mean, he likes Star Wars, and he knows, you know, it was partly what shaped him as a human being, which is, you know, he accepts that. But he's more into like books and comic books. Like, that's his thing. So, but Star Wars definitely influenced him in a major way. So going to see Solo with him, it was a fun experience. And I liked it. I walked out of the theater liking it after The Last Jedi. Cause a lot of people were like I said, a lot of people were going to, oh, we're going to boycott. And other people were like, I'm just not interested. You know, fuck Disney, blah, blah, blah. But I was like, I liked the trailers. I liked that Ron Howard was directing it. And I was like, I'm going to give this a shot because it feels different and it feels fun. And that was the thing the trailers made me see, is how fun it was as a movie. And I think that's something that had been missing from Star Wars for quite a while. And so I thought, well, this is kind of different. And, you know, it just looks fun. And that's all it was for me. And by the end of the movie, it was fun. You know, I had a good time, and it was a ride. You know, just that's all it was. It's not a movie you want to look too deep into. First time, and it is kind of like a roller coaster, because you see it the first time, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool, because you know everything's new and exciting, and you know the twists and turns. But then that second time you go on it, you're just kind of like, yeah, I guess that's not as cool. That's actually kind of predictable, or, you know, yeah, that's not as that turn going upside down isn't as scary as it was the first time, or wasn't as intense, whatever. It's just that sense of like taking the ride the second time and the impact just not being there, I guess, for seeing it for the first time. And you start to see the holes, you start to see things that are wrong with it that you didn't see the first time. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not here to diss on Solo. I like the movie. I'm just being objective, and, you know, just as a fan, I like to dive into things. And, you know, there are good points about Solo, but there are also bad points, and that's what I'm going to talk about. Things I liked about Solo: I really like Donald Glover as Lando Calrissian. I thought he did a great job. Like I said, I think he was a little over the top at times, but for the most part, I can't complain. I mean, I really can't think of anybody else I would want to see in that role. I think he really fits the Lando energy, I guess you would say. Do I think of him as Lando? Not. It's hard to say. At this point, no. I mean, it just looks like, you know, it's like somebody playing Lando. It's like I haven't really synced them up as being the same person yet. Maybe if they do more movies, that'll happen. But for now, I'm just kind of like, these almost feel like two different universes in a weird way. Like a Stargate thing. I don't know if Stargate does that. I honestly haven't watched Stargate, so I could be completely wrong. But just like two different realities, two different timelines, whatever you want to call it. But I just haven't synced them up. It's kind of like the prequels. Like, I have a hard time syncing up the prequels with the original trilogy. It just doesn't gel. You know what I mean? And it's like none of the new movies do, really. And it just kind of, I don't know. It's just me, probably. And about a million other people. I like Chewie. I liked his mannerisms. I liked that he was the Beast. I thought that was a really cool idea. And that was something, it was something kind of different, but it worked because I don't know. It just felt right, you know, and him getting thrown in with the Beast and then it's Chewie. The thing that I guess was like awkward the first time was him speaking Chirook, which is the Wookiee language. And, you know, and he's like trying to do the whole thing and talk to him. Chewbacca's like, what the fuck? And, you know, it's interesting. Well, I guess it's not interesting, but you're wondering, like, where the hell did he learn to do that? And, you know, it would have been, I don't know. It's I almost wish, to be honest, I kind of wish they'd done a Solo movie where he either meets Chewbacca at the very end. Well, probably, yeah, where he meets Chewbacca at the end. Like, that's the payoff of the movie. Because the whole movie, it's like, it jumps ahead. That's another problem I had with Solo, was it just jumps ahead over Han's life for 3 years. You know, and it already starts him out where he's pretty much a teenager, and then it just jumps 3 years, and then he's basically in the Empire, and then he escapes and becomes a smuggler, pirate, whatever you want to call him. But there's some character development there, obviously, with, you know, the stuff that happens with him and Beckett and even him and Kira, but a lot of the formative stuff where you kind of see him become Han Solo, it's like they crammed it into this movie. That's kind of what sucks. Like, I would have liked to have seen a more drawn out Han Solo origin story. You know, where it's not everything's about action and lasers and, oh, we're outrunning this giant H.P. Lovecraftian fucking monster against from a black hole. You know what I mean? Like, I guess it's cool, but at the end of the day, I don't know, it's just not what I wanted. And maybe that's the problem, because maybe I just need to not have expectations and just accept what it is. But, you know, I can't do that. I have to complain. So things I liked about Solo was also Han Solo. You know, I liked Ehrenreich. I think that's his name. Anyways, I liked him. I thought he was good as Han Solo. I thought, you know, there were moments where he actually looked like Han, which was interesting. A little like kind of shorter, chubbier version, I guess, which is what, you know, makes sense because he's a kid now. But I mean, it's only 10 years. No, nobody's going to change that much, but I think they just want you to kind of roll with it. You know, they're not telling you like, look, this is Harrison Ford young. They're just trying to say like, this is Han Solo. Like, it's the spirit of the characters that they want you to just accept and just roll with the new actors, which I was fine to do. You know, I wasn't like really hung up like a lot of people were like, that he doesn't look like Harrison Ford. I mean, I would like to have seen, I can't remember his name. The actor who was in Age of Adeline, I would like to have seen him be Han Solo. At least I did, but then I like him, and I think he's a good actor, but his acting style, I'm not sure would have fit with Solo, because Solo was so over the top. I think if they had done a more mellow version of Solo, he would have been good. But I think that the way that movie was, I don't think it would have worked with him. I just don't think he would have the right energy. And that is not a knock against him. If anything, it's a knock against the movie, because I felt like he's a better Han Solo than Alden. Or, I sorry, Iden? Alden? I'm sorry. I don't have his name in front of me, and I keep forgetting. Alden Einreich, I think his name is. Sorry. I will get that someday. But I thought he did a good job. Times he looked like Han Solo enough to where, you know, it kept me going. And just, like I said, same with Donald Glover. Just a little bit of overacting. Like, he was trying too hard to be funny. And there were times it worked, but there were times it really didn't. And those times, it was kind of like, ouch, okay. Yes, certain moments were very good, and some were not so good. That's all I'm going to say. That was actually in my notes. I like Mimban. Was it Mimban or Mimban? I think it's Mimban is how they say it in the movie. The planet Mimban that Han goes to, where the Empire has invaded and are trying to, as they say, take out the hostiles, which is funny because Han makes a comment about, you know, well, aren't we the hostiles since, you know, we invaded the planet. So, you know, it's little things like that that show you kind of Han's character, which is cool because he's practical, you know, and he's smart. And it's kind of funny because with Solo, it's like you see him as the smartest guy in the room, even though he doesn't act like it. And that's, just looking back now, you know, that is kind of an interesting aspect of the movie, because in all the instances where Solo, you think he's being schooled, he's actually either learning or he's ahead of the character. Like, specifically when he and Beckett were doing this thing. Well, Beckett was playing holochess with Chewie, and he was talking to Chewie and saying things like, you got to anticipate your opponent. And then he tells Han something about, you people are predictable. And you just kind of see Han is like, oh yeah, whatever. Hey, where's the girl? You know? And it's like, you know, he projects like, you know, I don't care and I'm not paying attention. But then by the end of the movie, you realize that, you know, he's one step ahead of Beckett, you know, and he knows exactly what was going on. And I don't know. It's interesting. 'Cause like I said, Han becomes the smartest guy in the room by the end of the movie, which is, you know, kind of, I don't know if that's how he was in the original trilogy. But it definitely works for this movie, I guess, because it kind of shows that he's a natural at what he does. And, you know, he knows people's motivations and, you know, it just helps him, I guess, be a better smuggler, because that's what he ends up being. But it works. You know, I'm not mad at that. But like I said, Mimban is a planet I like. I just like how dirty it is and smoky and just, you know, it feels like a Star Wars planet, I guess. You know, it just feels a little alien. And it's cool to see things from like the Empire in the early days where they're just like taking over planets and just cleaning house, and it's just, you know, and it's a dirty war, and it's just how things began, you know, certain armor, where armor evolved from, and it was a cool look at that side of the galaxy. I didn't like the Enfys Nest reveal. I don't like the character that much. I mean, I don't know, it was weird. I guess because you're expecting one thing and it's something else, but when they took it, I swear to God, I was like, is that Maya Rudolph? Like, I really felt like she looked like Maya Rudolph, and that's who I thought it was. And then all of a sudden it changed the scene. I was like, oh, it's not. She's way younger, and it's not that actor. And then this second time, I saw it a little bit, but I definitely noticed this time that, you know, she doesn't look like Maya Rudolph. But it was that initial thing. It was just the freckles and the hair. It just, I think the, because I'd never seen this actress before, so my brain interpreted it as, oh yes, this is Maya Rudolph, when actually it wasn't. But it was a little jarring, because it's like, you're, I don't know what, but you're just not expecting this little girl. And in hindsight, I guess it's not as bad as the first time I saw it. And it is interesting that this young girl is leading, you know, these marauders to actually be, you know, part of the rebellion, and they're trying to fight against the Empire. That aspect is cool of it. It's just, I, you know, and I don't know. I think it was more something I didn't like the first time, but I think it's kind of grown on me just watching it a second time. That first time was very jarring, but this time, you know, like I said, with all of the reality of this young girl fighting against, you know, the empires, it's pretty interesting. Another thing I didn't like was Kira. I just, you know, I didn't feel like she had any chemistry with Han. I didn't feel like there was anything between them that was that's like him risking his life or was that special. I don't know. It's hard to say because it's like the beginning, I guess it was kind of there. But then when he sees her again, you know, she's cold and distant, and that's how she's supposed to be. But I don't know. I just wasn't feeling any chemistry between them through most of the movie. It just wasn't there. Even like in the closet, it just didn't feel like, not like, Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher had. I mean, that Empire Strikes Back, like that chemistry is just, it's out there. Like you can feel it. But with this, it was dead. Like there was nothing there. So anyways, that was something that kind of bugged me, is just Kira as a character, maybe. I didn't hate it. Her being like Dryden Voss's, you know, second in command or whatever and all this stuff. But it just, I don't know if she was the right actress for it. It's hard to say. I like the actress in Game of Thrones, and I can't remember her name off the top of my head, but I liked her in Game of Thrones. But in this, I'm not sure she was the right choice. She was good, but I just felt no chemistry between them. That's my opinion. Millennium Falcon, I thought was actually cool. I really liked how when they're trying to get out of the Maw, they're escaping the Maw and they put in the coaxium fuel, which, you know, the engine stalls out and then all of a sudden it kicks on and it shoots them out from the gravity well, if you will, and out of the can't remember what it's called, but basically it ends the Kessel Run. It takes them away from the Maelstrom. And, you know, that explains the whole 12 parsecs thing. I mean, I thought it was kind of ridiculous having this big, huge, like, HP Lovecraftian creature in there that they got to escape from and all that. I mean, that just, I don't know, it just seemed out of place and kind of weird. But when the engine stalls out, though, and that makes the sound of the hyperdrive not working from Empire, it just feels like Star Wars. Like that's one of those moments where it just feels like a Star Wars movie. And I really, really enjoyed that. And, one of the things I didn't like about it though was Dryden Voss. I thought he was boring. I thought he was a boring villain. Like he was just not interesting. He just felt like a Bond villain almost, or just very non Star Warsy, I guess, which is maybe what they were going for, but I wasn't feeling it. Sorry there, Dryden. I didn't like Rio that much, which was the four-armed... Was it an Orindian? Is that what they called him? I can't remember now. But Jon Favreau's character, basically the character he voiced, which was Rio, and he's the guy who flew the ship. But he was a CGI character. And I kind of wasn't... It's like this forearm monkey creature, and I didn't even care about that, but it just did not look realistic. It just looked CGI. It looked like a cartoon character, you know what I mean? And it's like, I wish they had done both CGI and practical and like kind of merged it a little more, especially in the face. Like, I feel like that would have really made it more Star Wars. But they didn't. It's all CGI and, it just, I don't know. I just didn't like him as a character. He kind of bugged me, actually. I was not sad to see him die. Spoiler alert. L3, Lando's first mate and droid counterpart. She was annoying. Like, I just didn't care about her storyline. I was not the least bit sad when she died or got shot. And then I was kind of annoyed when they put her in the Falcon and the whole thing about her shorting out as a droid, and then her being in the Falcon and the Falcon shorting out when they're trying to escape Hoth, because I know that's what they were syncing up with. That it was kind of annoying because you're just like, oh, that's the reason for that. It's like, I don't know. It's just, I hate that shit. I hate retconning. I hate blatant retconning, and I hate retconning that changes something that I liked in the, you know, in the original trilogy. I love that scene where Han hits the Falcon. He's trying to start the Falcon, and it starts up, and then it just dies instantly, and he just slams it with his fist, and it starts back up. It's like, that's a cool moment, and, you know, like, that moment exists. I think it's stupid to tie something to it where, like, there's a reason that it happened. You know what I mean? And it doesn't even really correlate in the sense that when she does that, she connects to the navigation computer. And, you know, it's like the connection's short, so she has to bang her head. And then this time he's like starting up the Falcon and getting ready for takeoff, and it does that. And I guess there's a loose connection there, but honestly, I don't think it's enough to where, I don't know. I just think it was kind of a weak attempt at linking those two things. I'm just going to pretend that they didn't. That's what I'll do. I'll just pretend like that has nothing to do with that scene and just leave it at that. So L3, yeah, I mean, and just the whole like droid rights thing was kind of annoying. It was just like, whatever. Like, I don't know. It was just weird in her attitude and the whole sexual thing. Like, oh, you got to do that thing again, you know? And Lando kind of gets this look like, oh yeah. You know, it's just like that kind of shit was weird. It's like the sexual chemistry between, you know, a female droid, and she was female. She talked female. Physically, she was, you know, had big hips and she was very feminine. And for him to react like that and her, you know, like, oh, you got to do that thing again, and him giving that look on his face, it's just, it's kind of like, really, do we have to sexualize our droids now? Like, I don't know. Like, R2-D2 and BB-8 were never sexualized, and it, you know, they shouldn't be, but, you know, it's just weird. So that, I had a problem with that. But honestly, when she got shot, I was like, good. I was like, please kill her. I was like, please don't let her be half a droid laying in the back of the ship squawking out one-liners. Like, just let her fucking go. And they did. But they kept her around and put her in part of the Falcon. So it was like, oh, God. And then 3PO in Empire is like, oh, you know, Captain Solo, I don't know where your ship learned to communicate, but it has the most peculiar dialect. And you're like, okay, so, yeah. Great. He's talking to L3. Wonderful. Anyways, it's just those things bug me. Just leave them alone. Just leave the originals alone. Can you just make your own stories and quit fucking with the originals? It's just, come on. Not everything has to have a goddamn explanation. Anyways, Darth Maul cameo. So many people loved this. I liked it. I wouldn't say I loved it, but, you know, the thing with Darth Maul to me being in this, it was at the very end. They did this whole slow reveal thing, and it just felt tacked on. Like, it was just like, oh, we're going to throw this, you know, everybody's favorite cool character from the prequels and just have him have this cameo at the end, and he's actually behind the whole thing and blah. And it's just like, eh, I guess. You know what I mean? I was kind of disappointed, actually. But, everybody, like, a lot of people just went apeshit, and they're just like, oh my God, it's the best thing from the prequels, and, you know, he's blah, and it connects to the Clone Wars, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't care about all that. Like, it just feels forced. It feels like fan service. And I was just like, eh. The second time was a little better, but the problem with the second time was, now that I knew it was going to happen, I kind of paid attention to the character a little more, and it's like, the first couple of lines were Ray Park lip syncs and for the voice of Sam Witwer, like, it doesn't sync up. Like, his facial expressions it's not the same emotion as the voice, so it just looks like he's lip syncing. It looks really bad, actually. And I was like, ooh, I didn't notice that the first time. But the other parts are fine. Like, after that first scene, the first scene's bad, and then after that, I think it's okay. I think that first scene, it just kind of was a little weird. But that kind of bugged me. I'm more okay with it now, the second viewing. I was like, okay, it's Darth Maul. I mean, I guess that opens up a lot of story possibilities if they actually do something with it. You know, it's like, if their plan was like, we're going to do a Darth Maul movie right after this, or we're going to do a solo movie with Darth Maul or something, or a Kenobi movie with Darth Maul, whatever. If you're using it for a purpose, great. You know, use it and launch into something else to continue that story arc. But if you're not, if you're just like, hey guys, we're going to dangle Darth Maul in here so everybody will talk about it and go see the movie, that's cheap and that's shitty. You know, so I hope that's not what you're doing. I really hope you put Maul in something else. Bring Ray Park back. Put him in a Kenobi movie. Because Kenobi isn't going to take place after Rebels. Kenobi's going to have to take place before Rebels when he's younger, because Ewan McGregor is not that much older. Like, they literally should do it like 5 years after the Clone Wars. I don't, you know, maybe 10 at the most. But it should be... that's even kind of cutting it close, but it shouldn't be that close to Guinness, and it should be, you could easily put Maul in there. I mean, cause you could put stuff in that happened between Revenge of the Sith and Rebels. Cause I mean, that's wide open and nobody's really touched that. I think maybe some books have or something, but whatever, who reads books, right? Just kidding. I know there's a lot of people who read books and love the extended universe. Well, the new canon, I guess you would say. Anyways, I digress. Yeah, I think that time period would be great to have a Kenobi story, and I don't know how you, if Maul would be in it or not. Maybe Maul would be in it, but it would almost be like two different storylines in a way, because you couldn't have them merge. I'd have to go back. Well, I guess they'd have to go back and see what happened. Like, in Rebels, does he make any mention of how long it's been since he's seen Kenobi? You know what I mean? Because if not, then you could kind of squeeze them into another meeting prior to the end of Rebels and after Revenge of the Sith. Anyways, so that kind of bugged me with having Darth Maul there, but you know, I'm warming up to it if they don't waste it, you know what I mean? I thought some of the costumes were not very good. I don't know. All I can say is it didn't feel Star Wars. It felt kind of like almost B-movie-ish, you know, in a weird way. I don't know. I just didn't like some of the costumes. I thought some of them were good. Also thought the dude Moloch, like him and more, not less him, but more the guy at Kessel where he has the square helmet face thing. That was weird. It looked really, it almost looked animated. I know it wasn't, but it was so cartoony. You know, just the way it was done, like the eyes or something. I don't know. It's just really cartoony. And that to me was weird. I just didn't like it. I was like, I guess there was like a hint at Zuckuss in a way. Because I guess I could see like a slight bridge there. But it wasn't as good in my opinion. If that's what they were trying to do. But either way, I didn't really like... I can't remember his name now. It's not Moloch, but it's the guy at Kessel with the square-looking face. But even Moloch had it a little bit. It wasn't as bad, though. That felt more kind of natural. But just the dude at Kessel was... It was weird. It was like a big cartoon walking around. I didn't like it. The dialogue... You know, there was a lot of corny dialogue in this. Like I said, Han and Lando were a little too over the top. I thought Alden tried too hard to be funny, I think, at times, and it showed, you know what I mean? And there's just, I don't know, some of the dialogue's just not very good. You know, it's just really corny. And, you know, I know John and Lawrence Kasdan wrote it, and Lawrence Kasdan obviously wrote Return of the Jedi. He helped with Empire Strikes Back. Well, I know he wrote it, but, I mean, he was working off of Lucas's drafts. But, you know, and he also wrote The Force Awakens with J.J. Abrams. So, yes, obviously when you go to Star Wars for writing, you probably want to go to Lawrence Kasdan and his son, apparently. And I'm fine with the script for the most part. You know, I thought there was some good stuff in there. I don't know. It's like some of the dialogue was really corny. But see, I wonder about the directing thing, because when those two left and then Ron Howard came in, I'm curious as, you know, what was cut? What was changed? What was, you know, how much of what they originally shot was used to make it work, you know, and not sound too over the top. So I feel like this is like the low end of what we would have got with the previous directors. What is it? Chris Miller, Philip Lord, Lord Miller. I don't know. I can't remember their names, but it's definitely I don't want to say the most funny Star Wars movie. I guess in a way it is, though. But it's not that funny. That's the problem. But yeah, I mean, like I said, there's things I like about Solo. There's things I don't like about it. But at the end of the day, I still like it better than The Last Jedi. And I like it better than the prequels, to be honest. I mean, it's I don't know. It'd probably rank. It's hard to say. I want to rank it after Revenge of the Sith, honestly. Like, it would basically go Empire, Star Wars, Jedi, Rogue One, Force Awakens, Solo. No, Force Awakens, Revenge of the Sith, Solo is how I'm thinking. But I think the Revenge of the Sith is that part is more nostalgia than anything. Even more than the original trilogy. But I think when I really look at quality of movies and what I would enjoy, I think Solo, for me, would go above Revenge of the Sith. So, yeah. I mean, it's not the best Star Wars movie, but it's definitely not the worst. That goes to The Last Jedi, if I haven't said that enough times. Sorry. It's just true. I fucking hate that movie. Yeah, so, I mean, that is pretty much it. That's what I wanted to talk about. This podcast was Solo. You know, another thing that was very last minute was The Force Unleashed celebrating, I think, 10 years since it was put out. That's crazy. With Sam Witwer was basically the model for the main character, who was Starkiller. And, then there was the sequel, Force Unleashed 2, but The Force Unleashed was a cool game. And so was the second one. You know, it was fun and it was a cool game to play. A good bad guy, because it's weird. It's like he's the bad guy, but at the same time, you know, he's kind of the good guy, and it's an interesting game, and it's an interesting story, you know, and it's not canon anymore, but you know, it's still fun to play, and it's still fun to think of as canon, because I mean, it works. It's I feel like it's self-contained enough, like it doesn't really affect anything. But it's interesting. It's interesting to think Vader. Training an apprentice, you know, to, you know, because this is before Luke. So, this was like his first attempt at training somebody in the Force, and then it didn't work out. And then I think the second one, he was a clone, which was interesting, but, anyways, it's a good game, you know, 10 years. I mean, there's been a lot of games that came out since then. My favorite is Battlefront. I gotta say, like, the new Battlefront, not the old one. Everybody's like, oh, original Battlefront's so good. And I was like, it's kind of dated, you know, and it just, I don't know. There's, I guess for them, it's more about the gaming experience than the visual aesthetics. But for me, it's like, I want something that's gonna look and feel as real as possible. And Battlefront got that for me. Like, they really got the ships right, got the characters right. Like, it's like you're in a fucking Star Wars movie. It's awesome. And Battlefront is like you're just playing a video game that has Star Wars. It's just, it's different. You know what I mean? And I don't like Battlefront 2. I played Battlefront 2, the new one, and the story was cool, but the gameplay just felt like, I don't know, it felt like cheap, like they cheapened it, like they made it worse, like it was just, I can't even describe what I'm trying to say, but it just felt like it was like a step down from the first one, like they were going more for like, oh, it's all about online and killing other people online, and it almost felt like a cross between the first one and Mario or something, like just that weird dynamic of like it becoming, it just feels cheaper, like I can't. That's the best way to describe it. So I still love the first one, the first new Battlefront. I mean, some of those, like Hoth is just amazing. And like, man, they're all just beautiful. Like Endor is just, they did such a good job rendering like a slice of Endor. It's just beautiful. And like I said, I like the storyline. It's a good game, and that's what was missing. And well, that's in the second one. Sorry, but what was missing in the first one was the story. And I thought that's what the second one was good at, was the story, but the gameplay sucked. First one didn't have a story, but had amazing gameplay. So if you can combine those two things into one game for Battlefront 3, you will have a fucking hit on your hands, in my opinion. So make it happen. Anyway, yeah, we're winding down here. This has been an interesting episode. I haven't yet focused on the one specific thing, even though I didn't, because I have a tendency to go off and talk about all kinds of crap. But it's all an experiment. I am just totally having fun. I don't even know if anybody's listening, but it's, you know, this is just, it's an experiment for me. It's a creative outlet. I'm having fun with it. That's all that matters. If by any chance you are listening, then by all means, hit me on Twitter and let me know. If you are right here, got this far in the podcast, you definitely should hit me on Twitter or Facebook or wherever and just say, hey, I listen to your podcast. So that would mean a lot to me, actually. But if nobody's listening, then who cares? I'm having fun. Let's see. It is, well, it's 12:17 in the morning for Monday, which means it's just after midnight. And I think it's a good time for me to close it down. So I appreciate you guys if you're listening. And if you're not, you will be soon. All right. Take care. Bye.
Take care, my friends. And may the force be with you.